All right. Thank you, Maddie. That was good. Wanted to share a little bit from, we'll start in 2 Thessalonians. Wanted to share something that both challenged me, but also gave me some encouragement as to how to see it fulfilled in my life. So in 2 Thessalonians, if we look, verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. It says, "We ought always to give thanks for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions and afflictions which you endure." And the phrase that got my attention and kind of challenged me was that the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. And I was thinking about that a little bit because Maddie and I were blessed to go to a conference in Colorado last week. I guess it was, well, beginning part of last week. It would have been, two Sundays ago. And it was an awesome experience. It was a real, real blessing. Lots of really encouraging messages and great fellowship with the body there. And when we were there, it's like there's 300 people there and there's all these families and singles and all these people. And we're all kind of like-minded, right? Like we're all here to hear messages of encouragement and we're all on different journeys, but the Lord's done a work in kind of everybody's life. And one of the neat things about it was like there was all these breaks, and every break, I mean, I'd go out and I'd just like meet people. I'd just walk up, and I'm not an extreme extrovert or anything, but it was just kind of easy to do because we're all there. Like not everybody was with their home fellowship, and it was just easy to do. You just walk up and just start talking about the Lord with people. And I had so many encouraging conversations where I was so blessed by these discussions. And it was great. But I read these verses here, and I was thinking more about the body that the Lord has put me in here. And it was just, I was reflecting, it was like there's this excitement and this energy and this blessing, and I would even say love cultivating in all these little conversations I was having. But I was sort of thinking, like, is that, like, I actually think Christ wants something even deeper than that. And it's not to discount it, but I was sort of looking at, like, okay, like, would that energy and conversation be the same the second time I met them, the third time I met them, the fourth time I met them, the fifth time, like how I am with many of you here, right? Like I've met virtually everyone here. Praise the Lord, there's a few new faces today, which I'm very grateful for. But most of you here, I've met all of you many times. And I sort of was reflecting, I was like, I don't think we need to duplicate it. There's a blessing and a meaning and encouragement that comes with meeting somebody new and realizing that they've found the Lord and having hope and encouragement in Him, and you can share how you found the Lord. And I don't want to say that we need to be replicating that, but I am saying, I just read this verse and I was like, you know what? I want, like, it should be as a body, it should be going even deeper than that. And there should be a testimony that our love for each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. And I just had to sort of stop and look at my heart and say, is my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ in the body where the Lord has put me, is my love for each one of you growing ever greater? And I would say that it was a challenge to me. I didn't feel condemned or discouraged, but I felt challenged to say, yeah, I want that. And I praise the Lord for what He's done in this body. And I do have love for all of you. I'm not saying it's not there, but I am saying over time, is it growing or are we just static? Like there is a blessing here. I can look around this room and I can think of occasions where like so many in this room have shown love to my family, have laid their lives down, have taken the step of faith to reach out and encourage, and like, I think most of us here could write a real long list of ways that this body has been a blessing to us. So I don't stand up here saying, like, this is not a rebuke, but an encouragement to say, is it growing ever greater? Because I think if we take it as that, is an encouragement to go further, that irrespective of wherever we've come to, that it would grow ever greater. And I think that we can look at that and say, Lord, make that happen. Make that real in me. So I want to turn back to 1 Thessalonians now. And I wrote down verses, and these are the ones I forgot to write down. Okay, there we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now may the God and Father, and may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And I'll just jump ahead to chapter 4 because he speaks of this again in chapter 4, verse 9. He says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And so in two different letters to the Thessalonians, I read them in reverse order, but in two different letters to the Thessalonians, Paul encourages them. But I just love the way this comes through because Paul acknowledges, like, the Lord has done a good work. Like, I think it's almost interesting. I kind of wonder if, I feel like maybe the Thessalonians, actually, I think we can kind of take it from the scripture that the Thessalonians were excelling in loving one another. Like, they actually, this was a church that was where God was doing it. It said in verse 9, Paul said, I actually don't need to write to you about this because God himself is teaching you to love one another. It's happening. The Holy Spirit is doing it in your midst. That the Holy Spirit is teaching you how to love one another. But despite that, Paul says, I urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And if we look back in verses 11, 12, and 13, it seems to me that this love that we would have for one another as a body, and I know there's lots of other verses, and I know this is not even a new concept, but for me it was fresh, and it says that this love would actually be what would establishes our hearts before God at his coming. That this love would establish our hearts before God at his coming. And why is that? I think it's because we become like Christ. Christ himself was the perfect example of love. The way he laid his life down, the way he became a servant, the way he... You can read Philippians 2. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but read through Philippians 2, the testimony we have of Christ, of putting everyone else's interests ahead of his own, becoming a bondservant, and then not even a bondservant, but actually dying a criminal's death. None of it was for his sake. All of it was for our sake. And there we have the perfect example of love to look to. And as we ourselves are growing in this, it says, it's actually a promise that in verse 13 of chapter 3, so that he may establish our hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And I just think that you can think about, and I think it's good to think about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's good to meditate on that and think about that and let it become more real to us through thinking on these things. And in that, we see it here, and you actually can see a parallel kind of thought in 1 John. I'm not going to read it, but you can see parallel thoughts in 1 John. Then when we come Jesus is going to commend us, and Jesus is going, and our own hearts are going to not, our own hearts are going to condemn us, because the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us to the extent that we have grown in love for one another. That's what this is saying. It's saying our own hearts will commend us before Jesus Christ when he comes, and commend us before God our Father to the extent that we have grown in love for one another. And there's lots of things that we can do and be occupied with that are good, but I think this, to me, is speaking to the ultimate. This is the goal, that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and in being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we would have love for one another. And this is holiness. This is holiness. In being sanctified, I'm not going to read them, but the next four, like the first verses in chapter 4, talk about being sanctified, talk about turning from sexual immorality and obeying the commandments that are given from the apostles and others. But in this, it's sandwiched between the end of chapter 3 talking about love, and in chapter 4, verse 9, returning to love. And it's not that they're exclusive, but the testimony is we want this to be the outcome. We at this church preach pretty freely about overcoming sin, and it's a regular reminder, and it's a great reminder, and we see it throughout the gospel, so I don't think it can, I'm not, you can't overemphasize it, but I think it's okay to regularly remind one another about that, and the danger of sin, and the fact that we need to be set apart from this world. But in all of these things, the outcome is to be love. The outcome of all of this, like if our Christian walk is just gritting our teeth and trying not to sin and trying not to do this or trying not to do that, trying to bite our tongue, like, no. It is a wrestle, and I don't want to, we do need to wrestle against sin. Don't take me wrong with that. But ultimately, it is sanctification should produce holiness in us, and holiness is testified to with love. That the love we have for one another, the love we have for the people the Lord brings into our path, is the testimony of holiness and sanctification that God our Father wants to see. And that to me is the challenge, but also the encouragement and hope we have that in pursuing this walk, in pursuing a life of following after Jesus Christ, that he would produce this in us. So let's just read a few more verses about that real quick. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'll start in verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever." So I read this passage because a couple of reasons. The first was the burden that Paul had that the believers in Ephesians would understand the love of Christ, that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, and they would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And why does he... I was reflecting on this, and I think... I was thinking something this morning. We in this body, and many of us who have fellowshiped here a long time, have had, like, as we serve the Lord, we get revelations. We understand more of Jesus Christ and understand more of God's ways. And I can tell you, one of the first revelations that I had was that I was a sinner, which sounds kind of silly or maybe trite, but the revelation was real because I had grown up in a Christian home. I'd been baptized. I'd been to church all my life. I was still going to church, but I was living a life of sin. And with that were coming consequences in my life. And I heard a message of repentance that said, it doesn't matter if you've been baptized. It doesn't matter if you've gone to church all your life. It doesn't matter if you can quote the scripture. If you're a slave of sin, you need to be saved. And that was like a revelation. I was like, whoa, this is true. This is me. I need to be saved. And I'm thinking about that. I was like, you know what? That was a revelation. And the devil had blinded me to it. The devil, through false doctrine and just through my own hardened heart, had blinded me to thinking that somehow I should feel safe and content in this state of being a slave of sin. And that was so far from the truth. But when the light shone, I realized, boom, that was a lie, and I needed to be saved. And it was the start of an awesome work of God in my life. I had genuine repentance, and Jesus, just like the regenerator, I went into the regenerator, I did it, and came out a new man, and God started to work in my life. But I share that testimony because the devil lies and says, and one of the key lies of the devil is that you can be in sin and somehow know God and stay in that place, and that Jesus doesn't actually want to pull us and save us out of our sins. But I'll tell you another thing as I was reflecting on this. Another scheme of the devil is to blind people to the love of Christ, to the love of God. And you can read about it on a page. You can hear all about it. But we need the Holy Spirit to awaken our hearts and our minds to understand the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. We need God to do that in our hearts. And that's why Paul prays this. And Paul isn't praying this for new believers. The church of Ephesus was one of the most mature churches. Read about them in Revelation. They had lots of good works. They had good discernment. There was some solid doctrine in the church of Ephesus. There was a lot of good things going on there. But for this very solid church, Paul was praying that they would understand the love of Christ. Paul was praying that they would be able to become rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. And what does that mean? That is a security. That is a confidence. That is a knowledge of Jesus Christ in our lives that puts down roots. And what do roots do? They take up moisture. They take up nourishment. They take things from the ground and satisfy and sustain the plant. And we need to have our roots grounded in the love of Christ. We need to have our roots grounded in the love of Christ, that we can draw nourishment and strength and be a healthy plant. And being rooted and grounded in Christ, we will have something to give to others. We will have some, like a branch or a tree that is not rooted and grounded in Christ is just a dried up stick. And you can tell it has nothing to give. But if we're rooted and grounded in Christ, we can have that love flowing in our own lives, first and foremost. And from that, there's an abundance and an overflow that we would have to share with others. And I share this to say it's not, like, if it was doctrine, I think Ephesus would have been okay. If it was good works, I think Ephesus would have been okay. But there's actually something here about faith and revelation that comes through a pursuit to know Jesus Christ. Not just to have a really good church, and not just to have a lot of good things, but to know Jesus Christ. That's where the revelation comes from. That's where the Holy Spirit can illuminate our hearts. And it's through faith, as it says in verse 17, that Christ, it's amazing to think that Paul would say to, like, there's so many, like doctrines of, like, pray a prayer and it's all good. Like, it's garbage, quite frankly. Like, Paul says here to a mature church, he's praying that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. This is mature believers, and Paul is praying, bowing his knees before the Father, like appealing the Father on behalf of the Ephesian church. God, Father, dwell in their hearts through faith. That's not some sort of prayer or doctrinal assent. That is actually through faith coming to know Jesus Christ and having him formed in our lives. And through that, we can begin to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And the conclusion in verse 19, well, the promise is that we would be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's why Paul is praying this, that he wants these Ephesians church and all the saints to be filled up to all the fullness of God. And I just read these passages and I was like, yeah, I want more of that. To the extent I've come, praise God. But I want more of this. I want more of the knowledge of the love of Christ. I want to be rooted and grounded in that so that I cannot be shaken when tests come, when trials come, when areas in my own life, when the time to every day we need to take up our cross. Every day we need to be dying to sin and living to Christ. But that has to be built on a foundation of being rooted and grounded in love. It has to be built on that. Otherwise, it's just dead works and it's not going to produce what Jesus intends if it's not rooted and grounded in love. And then just quickly here, I got two more. I just want to finish here that it's just interesting to say in verse 20, now him too is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. The glory in the church. This love, this Christ being formed in us, dwelling us in our hearts through faith, this is the glory in the church. Just as it says in the Gospel of John, right? Like the world would know we're his disciples by our love for one another. This is another confirmation that the glory that God desires to see in the church is our love for one another, is the love of the saints towards one another, the love of the saints towards the lost and dying and hurting, but that this is the glory in the church. And I just think that is a good place to put our focus, that this, to challenge ourselves. And like I said, not to condemn. We're all on a journey and there's a spectrum, but we need to have this. We need to have a clear understanding that this is the glory in the church, that we would have the love of Christ formed within us, that we would be filled up to all the fullness of God. Okay, I'm just going to read one more passage real quickly. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 8, it says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be full. So in everything I've shared today, I want to emphasize that this is a journey. And this revelation, I think there's two aspects to it. We need to have an awakening and a quickening in our hearts through the Holy Spirit to desire to know the love of Christ, which I hope maybe I've stirred that in some of you today. I can tell you these passages stirred it in me. We need to have that knowledge. We need to have a desire to know the love of Christ. But it also needs to be mixed with a walk. And when it says here, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. The way I understand this is not a list. We don't go through the New Testament and create a list, at least in most cases. Some may be able to do that by faith and actually have it work in their lives, but for most of us, I don't think we want to go through and create a list saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And once I've ticked off all 120, I will know the love of Christ and I'll abide in his love. It's actually, to me, more of the attitude that says, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to obey. I want to follow him. I want him to be my Lord. I want to be his disciple, and I want to follow him. And when he shows me things, when through his Holy Spirit he puts his finger on things in my life or reveals things in his word that are his commandments, his truth to me as to how I ought to live, then I want to obey that. And to me, as we pursue that attitude, if that's our heart, that we would want to keep the commandments, that we would want to walk in a way that is pleasing to Jesus, pleasing to our Heavenly Father, because we obey what He shows us, that we are willing to take up our cross and follow Him, then we will abide in His love. And I can see from testimony, and I believe I could also point it out to you in Scripture, that it's a journey. The commands and the way that Jesus is calling me to walk might be quite different. Not different as in one person can. There's like a maturing, right? Like it's when somebody first comes to Christ, the commandments that Jesus has, the areas where Jesus wants that person to be a disciple, are like a little sliver. There may be like one or two things that Christ is saying to them. I want you to walk in this. It's for your own good. It's because I love you. Not for any other reason other than because He loves us and knows what's best for us. But there are some things there that we need to walk in and obey. And then as we grow and mature, He gives us more and more, not as a burden, not as a list of rules because he's satisfied with rules. It's just for our own good. It's just for our own good that we could be conformed to His image and become more like Him and be renewed and start to think more like Him. But as we walk, there's more, and these are His commandments. And as it says in John, 1 John, His commandments are not burdensome, but they are there. And I say this because I hope in all of you, and at least in some of you, I hope we've been quickened to say, I want to know more of the love of Christ. I can stand up here and say, when I read these passages, I'm like, Lord, I want my roots to go down. I want my roots to go deeper into the love of Christ. And that will come from seeking it. That'll come from meditating on Scripture, from asking God to speak to me and show me and reveal it to me. But with that, there's also a walk. There's also a walk. They're together. You can't have one without the other. It's not just going to be something that comes without a purposing in our hearts to say, I want to do it God's way. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in that, there's tremendous mercy and grace and forgiveness when we stumble, but there does need to be an attitude in our hearts. If we want to know the love of Christ, if we want to know the love of God, which passes knowledge, there also does have to be an attitude in our hearts that say, I want to live your way, Jesus. I want to follow you. I want to obey your commandments. And the promise in verse 11 is awesome. It's a slightly different topic, but it's completely intermingled, that we would have the joy of Christ and it would be full. As we know the love of Christ, as He dwells in our hearts through faith, as we seek to be those who obey His commandments by faith, not out of a legalism or bondage, but rather because we genuinely believe that the way He has for us is best, then His commandments are not burdensome, and we will know the love of Christ more and more. We'll have more and more love for one another because it will be flowing through us. The sap, the healthy trees, the healthy plants will have something to give. There'll be fruit to give to one another, and we can be growing in this, and our joy will be full. We'll be filled to the fullness of God. And these are lofty, high promises, but I think for each one of us, there's an opportunity. I know for each one of us, we can excel still more. There is room to grow. Maybe some need to repent and start the journey. And anyone else who is on the journey, then there's still further to grow. I promise you that. And we have that hope that we can become more and more like Christ and know this love more and more. And it would be just a solid foundation and nourishment and health to our lives and make us a blessing to others, and that God would be glorified in His church. God would be glorified in this body because of the love we have for one another.